Hey, sports dads, are you ready for the best combination of fatherhood and football talk? Well, let's go.
It's that time to have a conversation about fatherhood and football and relation. Ready, set, hut, grab your kids and huddle up. We might get deep, but just run it up the gut. So put your jersey on and clap for the home team. It's the dad's thing, yeah, you know what I mean. So tell a friend to tune in if you heard me. To the best show in town every Thursday. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football, it's a dad's thing. Fatherhood and football.
Welcome to a Dad's Thing podcast, Fatherhood and Football. I am James Simmons, your in-studio host dad of two amazing daughters. I'm a former middle school, high school, and college football coach, as well as a former wide receiver at D1AA Fordham University in the Bronx. Today we are joined by Devin Ackerett. Devin and I have partnered together as co-workers and colleagues in the field of drugs, alcohol, and mental health services for more than a decade and a half. Today, Devin and his wife, Rebecca, are raising their beautiful children, Evan, Eliana, and Kevin. Devin, welcome to the show.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. As always, I just want to thank you off the bat for being here, for always, you know, supporting me and my new endeavors. And it was funny because a couple of days ago, you sent me a text for a job opening where you are. And I chuckled, and I'm like, the thing that came to my mind was Martin. You remember Martin, the show, the TV show back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And Tommy. And we know Tommy. Tommy didn't
work. He never
work.
Had it.
Tommy never had a job. And I was just thinking, I was like, my boy Devin must think I don't work. I know you know I got a job, but he always offering me up something. But I appreciate it. You are always looking out. And I think that just goes back to us, you know, working together for so long and the friendship, you know, turned into family, you know, so I appreciate that, always looking out for me. But thanks again for being on the show. And, you know, I always love to give the guest a little opportunity up front just to kind of set the stage and kind of share with our audience where we came from, you know, how our paths crossed and start there.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing I have to say, and something I thought about, I needed to say earlier, is for those who don't know, you know, James literally saves people's lives. That's how I met James. That's how I met you. James came into my life at a time where I was still figuring out who I was as a young adult. Some might even say a transitional aged youth. Mm. And James came into my path and helped me set my path and really helped set the foundation for where I am today in the mental health field and the substance abuse field. You showed me how to help people. Yeah. You showed me how to help people by helping me. And yeah, so yeah, when I send you an opportunity, man, it's the smallest thing compared to what I've gotten from you. You are one of the handful of people who set me on the current path that I'm on.
Wow.
And so that's how we met.
And that's how we met. And I mean, that goes deep. I appreciate that. And you know, it's, you know how the saying goes, you know, you help folks and in return, that's helping yourself. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't too far from certain paths myself growing up, you know, and I took those lessons and I just knew that I had to give those lessons to other folks to help them on their journey in life. And I think this is what this show is about as well. You know, fatherhood and football, I'm new on my journey. You're new on your journey. But we've been in it together. You know what I mean? And to the point where your oldest, you know, is the age of my youngest, right, maybe a year older, a couple months older, but had the opportunity just to spend a lot of time with him growing up as we as parents figured out the comings and goings of having to balance work life, balance fatherhood and parenthood and all of those things. And we definitely have helped each other out. And that is something that is really near and dear to my heart. So I appreciate that. When we started, right, and just a little bit more of that, you know, Devin and I were able to have a great opportunity, you know, while we were young, you know, to help model just positive behaviors, taking care of self to other young males. And these kids were coming from juvenile hall all over the Greater Bay Area. And we would bring them in a residential setting and just mentor them, you know. And, you know, we're going to talk some football, but it was like we were a team. You know what I mean? We had everybody who played their role, the quarterback, the wide receivers, running back, all of that stuff. We all stayed in our lane, played our role, and that is what made us effective in working with those kids. And, you know, do you remember, you know, some of your early goings at Intermission House, working with some of the young folks, finding your way and trying to give that to them?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, I know this was quite some time now, 2004, 2005. I haven't been on a team like that yet. I also think that just that time period allowed us to help these young guys in a therapeutic way, but also in a raw, organic way that I think might be, you know, just a little different now, just based on the times. And the team that we had, man, unbelievable. The leadership that we have with you guys, we were doing things that I honestly have not seen done since. And it's really a shame to think that these places are not as readily available to young men.
Right.
But, you know, something that was awesome about that place was, as much as I was teaching people, you know, I was also learning from the older staff, and not just older in age, but older in experience in life. And I was also learning from these young guys, because I was 19, 20, more like 20. These guys were 16, 17, you know, which also means they're almost my age now, right? Almost our age now, basically. We're kind of in like the same bracket. And, you know, being able to be there for others in that time was almost another way for me to be there for myself. And being there with you guys as part of that team really helped me understand what I wanted to do with my life. Yeah, and man, talk about a good team, man. I don't know how it was that it happened that we had this almost nonverbal communication about things, but it just really, really worked well. And you know, now knowing your football background, I know you see the helmet in your office and all kind of stuff. Now knowing your background, I can easily see how football influenced how well that place ran.
Well, thank you for that. And it's funny because I remember having my helmet in the office. And like you said, you know, you and I, we got a couple years of age gap between us. And then the age gap with the kids. But I always wanted to stay relevant, speak a language that the kids could understand, and not be over their head, right? It wasn't about me. It was about them. And if I can't speak their language, how are they going to be helped? That football helmet was, you know, something that we would talk about when they would come into the office, whether it be good or bad or indifferent. And it was a conversation starter, you know, and I could share with them, you know, my coming up. It's like, listen, if you want a ball, hey, it's that opportunity is there. And that was one of the things I loved about Intermission House, working with these young kids from all walks of life, is we were able to show them where they could go and allow them to be kids at that point in time in their lives, not worry about running the streets, not worried about having to take care of a family, but be 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-olds and go to school, just worry about that, and play some sports. And we had a couple that did that. So that was pretty good and definitely taught me a lot about what it meant to be a parent early, right? Because I would call my mom and say, listen, I know exactly what you're talking about now and how you knew everything, because I'm going through that right now. So the lessons learned was invaluable.
I learned to cook there.
Yes.
Because those kids were relentless, man. They would let you know if the meatloaf was terrible. And it helped you get a little tough skin. But, you know, I remember calling my mom, asking her to, hey, how do I cook this real quick? Because, you know, I have a tough audience. They're ready to eat.
Tough audience, but an audience that you cared enough about to make sure that they were fed well and that it tastes good. And, you know, I've been to your house, not in the past year, but, you know, we have our family get together, and I can definitely say the cooking is good and the eating is good. So thanks from mom for helping you out in those days.
Yeah, for sure, man.
But let's go a little bit, you know, before Intermission House. You know, you said you came at a time where you were trying to find yourself a young man. Give me a little bit about that, you know, coming to Intermission House, your family background, and some of the things that happened there.
Yeah, so, you know, Intermission House was a residential program helping young men help young men figure out their lives and perhaps where they were at that time. And part of that was there for substance use. Part of that was there for, you know, other activity that had them in juvenile hall. And me specifically, you know, I'll put it straight out there. I started walking down the wrong path in my teenage years, which landed me in a position to really need some help, late teens, early 20s. And I was able to get help at the adult version of Intermission House.
Gotcha.
And which led to somebody thinking that I might be able to pass along some of what I've been through to mm-hmm. some of these young men. And, you know, sometimes I think of how things have happened as almost like magic or right. the universe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it went from, you know, me receiving a little bit of support to, hey, I think you can help somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, who am I to help somebody mm-hmm. at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coming from my family, you know, I grew up in San Francisco,
yeah.
you know, big time 49ers fan, came from a family of 49ers fans. Yeah. And, you know, I also, you know, I come from a city where there's a lot of temptation. There's a lot of different paths to walk down.
Right.
And I think, you know, left to my own devices in the city, I walked down a couple of incorrect paths, mm-hmm. which led me, you know, eventually to get some help and eventually to working with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the family part, you know, how growing up in a city, you know, sports being important, Niners, and we know the Niners history, but you had some support there, right, to enable you to go get some help and then in turn to be able to help folks. And tell me a little bit about what that meant to you as far as the support that you received from your family and what that looked like.
You know, it's funny because in my line of work, sometimes when you're the person receiving support, it doesn't look like and or feel like support. The best support that I got was the toughest of love from my family. It helped wake me up. You know, it helped put me in positions where I was quickly able to diagnose that I didn't want to be in those positions, which then opened my mind to be able to get the help that I needed. So at that time, what looked like, man, these people are treating me terrible was actually the best form of love I ever could have gotten in my life, man. It's, you know, speaking of football and just maybe sports in general, but especially football, I would liken that to a coach when they got to pull you aside and really get on you.
Right.
You know, you've got a lot of potential out here and you have all this talent, but nothing's happening on the field. And in a similar sense, man, they really had to wake me up. And I think it got to a point where they had to go to drastic measures, which was, you know, asking me to get out or, you know, telling me I can't see certain family members because of the path I was on, which, man, was the greatest form of love I ever could have gotten, to be honest.
And I mean, and you likened it to, you know, I think something that I talked about, you know, on the first episode, you know, with, you know, a big brother of mine that, you know, took me under his wings, but having a coach that really was hard on you, right? And not hard on you to, you know, bust your hump or anything like that, or because he didn't like you, but because, like you said, saw the potential that you had and wanted you to leave it out on the field. And the way he got that out of you was just pushing you, you know. And I didn't see it at the time, but that really, really stuck with me and helped me in my years to come in order for me to be a person who can be productive and to help the team, you know, move forward and win some games. So I really appreciate how you likened that to a coach with your family showing you some tough love, but still being there for you at the same time. And I imagine that's, you know, something that you take with you, you know, in all that you do today, you know, and, you know, you have to adjust it, you know, depending on the audience or whatever it may be. But I imagine that's a lesson that you utilize today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Of course, in different forms, you know, with the work that I do, with working with mostly people with substance use concerns, definitely pick and choose when you pull out the tough love, and there's a ton of different ways to show that, but the principle remains the same, which is, you know, you're trying to help somebody take that next step and to help empower them to take that next step.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't look like you're helping them take that next step, but what you're really doing is giving them the opportunity to rise up and take the next step on their own. And that was a big piece of what my parents taught me right there, which was it's time to swim. And, you know, you're either going to go down this path and you're going to go, or you're going to hop up and you're going to start swimming and you're really going to excel. And that's definitely something that comes across my desk all the time.
Right, right. And, you know, ultimately it is on the person who is on the other end of receiving the support from you in whatever fashion it is mm-hmm. to either sink or swim, get up, walk, run, crawl, whatever it is you have to do, but is on them to be able to put one foot in front of the other so they can get to where they need to get. So definitely, yeah. definitely feel that. You know, you have three kids, right?
I do.
You've got two boys. You have a beautiful young lady that you are raising. You know, how do you see some of these lessons that you've learned along the way helping you as a dad today?
Oh, man. Well, in my younger years, I want to teach them to do the complete opposite, almost. Actually, you know what? That's not fair, man. I was given a great moral compass by my parents. I really honestly was. I can't even... Everything that I am today, I feel like was instilled to me when I was just, you know, probably under 10 years old. Everything. And it was there the whole time. Just it might have been put away for quite some, you know, many years.
Yeah.
So I do teach them, my kids, quite a bit of what my dad taught me, quite a bit of what my mom taught me and showed me. You know, but there's also a lot of things that I like to help guide my kids on that I'm trying to do in little ways now, but I'm planning and hoping to do quite a bit more in the future. You know, just one way is being able to express perhaps what somebody might be experiencing, right? Whatever my son might be going through, whatever my daughter might be going through. How to effectively communicate that versus looking for other ways to express that and or feel better from that. So, you know, one thing that I learned in my journey was just the importance of mental health, and especially with our kids. And I think our kids have so much more going on than we ever think. I think there's that culture of youth that I think we as adults, and even myself sometimes, even though I'm aware of it, pretend like it's not there, but it's absolutely there. And that's one big thing I definitely want to help my kids understand is the importance of expressing oneself, the importance of being able to communicate, and hopefully we set the channels up where they can communicate with us about what's going on. You'll support it.
Definitely.
And if we can be open that way. But those are some things I definitely want to get across to my kids.
And I'm with you 100%. Again, our kids are along the same age, and I talk a lot about finding your voice. I think that was something that I, at an early age, I really didn't have. And I can pinpoint a couple of moments where I wish I had a spoke up, you know, for myself, but not knowing how to speak up because it was an adult. You know what I mean? Someone older than me.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely lessons that I'm teaching my kids today of walk in your voice, walk in your truth. And as long as you're doing it respectfully, that's you know, we talk about the moral compasses, right? Respect, but speak up for yourself, you know, and that's really, really huge. And the mental health piece, as you talk about, you know, this last, you know, 16, 17, 18 months, I know for me, I was very, very concerned or very observant of how my kids went about doing the things that they did. Because they're not going to just come out and say, oh, you know what, Dad, I'm feeling depressed, right? They're not going to eat as much. They're not going to play the things that they find joy in. They're not going to do those things. So I had to be really observant of those things to make sure I can support them during this time that, you know, we've been isolated, you know, and I talked about not us as families not being able to get together as much as we normally do for our normal holidays and birthdays and things of that nature. So really being aware of that. So I thank you for bringing that up and highlighting that in your journey today. Some of the fun stuff you do. You know, I know, you know, you talked about, you know, back in the day in your family, football Sundays was like Thanksgiving. every Sunday for a football season. Is it still like that? I know kids are smaller and they don't really understand it. And I always say, as long as the kid can grab my ear or have a elbow in my gut while I'm watching the game, you know, they're enjoying it, right? How do you see yourself, you know, recreating some of those happy moments with your kids that you had in the past?
Oh, man. You know, football Sundays for me, it's like Thanksgiving, but another way to explain it, and hopefully this makes sense, is it's like Disneyland. I don't know. It's like this just sacred, ultimate fun, untouchable thing that's just organic. And, you know, something that I do right now is, you know, so actually, let me take it back a little bit. When I was a kid, when we watched the Niner games, my dad would do this thing with me and my brother where he would be on his knees in the living room. We would have to like run across during halftime and, like, you know, we'd be playing football.
Yeah.
And we'd try to crack each other, but he'd be on his knees. And it was just like one of the best times. And, you know, it was like a tradition that was being created that I didn't quite, you know, think was a tradition. And maybe to him at the time, it was just something that we did, but it was huge. And right now, my son Evan is turning into his own little sports fan.
Yeah, yeah.
As evidenced by him staying up listening to the Giants games on his Alexa device. but for you know, he's really coming into his own right now. And I know that right now during Niner games, we have this like chest bump thing where he'll run up and we'll bump chests, and he's like, ah, and he's doing his little thing. And things like that really stand out to me. And, you know, for me, football was always gathering. Getting together in my household currently, my wife even mentioned it today. Football is synonymous with Chinese food. It just is what it is. Yeah. It's we have a spot we order from, and her family comes over. And you know, during COVID, it's been tough, obviously, to recreate that. We've tried our best, but you know, pre-COVID, man, football, Chinese food, everybody getting together, everybody having a good time. Even the football's on, people just kind of buzzing around and eating, just having a real good time. And man, Thanksgiving sounds about right. Disneyland sounds about right. Just those vibes, feeling. Yeah. And yeah, some of the best memories I've ever had come around just gathering and watching football together, man. 2012, that Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
You know, that was my dad's last playoff run. Wow. Actually. So wow. Awesome run, because
right.
Not only did we get together
yeah.
and have awesome food, but we hooked up for the morning games.
Yeah.
So we would have like a breakfast buffet, and it was almost like good luck, mm-hmm. right? If we all got together, the same people had to get together. We had to be there eating together. And, mm-hmm. You know, we made it as far as we could, but just awesome ride.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I love the stories and, you know, some of the things that I remember. It wasn't a Thanksgiving every Sunday. You know, we only had like Super Bowl Sunday. You know, Super Bowl Sunday was, you know, the big thing that we would celebrate. But, you know, you just brought a memory back to me. Of, you know, times that you cherish, you know, my brother, my cousin, like a brother to me. I remember the last Giant Super Bowl that they won was the last game that he and I watched with his dad, you know, and we talk about it often, you know what I mean? What that meant for us to be together, because for me, football growing up in the 90s was being at, you know, his house every Monday night. I spent the night over there. We watched Monday Night Football, and we did that for all the years that I was on Long Island going to school. So definitely great, great memories in that regard. And you're not the first person on the show to kind of mention like the gathering. My coach, Coach Adam, who was on episode 2, had mentioned, you know, the snacks that his mom would make, and it would be an opportunity where they could watch the game and have all of the snacks and just have a great time. And he recreates that with his family. There's nothing like traditions to bring us together and have joy and be together. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
And you know, as far as the game and as far as sports, you know, I know, you know, you're a San Francisco fan, and all the different areas. You know, how does that for you as a dad who likes sports, you know, how do you, you know, incorporate that and enjoy that with your family? I mean, as you see your kids growing up, you know, and they take different interests, you know, what's your stance on how you present that to them and encourage them?
That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
That's a good one. You know, a big reason why that's a good one is, you know, as you know, my son Evan was, you know, born with some, you know, physical concerns, mm-hmm. let's say, which leaves him, you know, unable to play a sport like football. And the reason I bring that up is because, you know, I think as a young dad, you know, I think one of the first things that comes to your mind, you know, your firstborn's a son, and it's, you know, I wish it wasn't this way, but it's almost he's going to play football and go farther than I could ever right, gone. And right. he's going to do this and he's going to do that. And, yeah. and you know, not to get too deep into the crushing of getting some news yeah. like that, where, you know, hearing that something like football could actually be endangering life, actually.
Right.
Comes this other appreciation for sport and football
mm-hmm.
because in my mind, it's then turned into, well, I want to teach him everything about it, or at least as much as I know. And I maybe I want to be a coach, and maybe I want him to be my assistant coach, and I want him to hold the scoreboard, and I want him to be involved in different ways. And, you know, one of the first thoughts I had was, well, you know what? If he's not going to be playing, then we're going to be sitting at the 50-yard line of the Niner games with season tickets when he's ready. It literally, one of my first thoughts was, yeah. well, we're going to be there, and we're going to be there in style somehow, because football is going to be enjoyed. And if it wasn't going to be enjoyed in one way, you know, just thinking of how it's going to be enjoyed for my kids, it's now less because of circumstances. It's now less about getting them out there and pushing them physically, but more about making sure that I ingrain how enjoyable it can be as a fan and as a participant in alternative ways.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's definitely different ways to enjoy it. I mean, we,
oh, yeah.
you know, there's lots of men and women who've never played the game before, but have grown to love the sport, the history of the sport, you know, commentate on it on TV, and enjoy it in a different way. So, you know, you might not even be on a 50-yard line. You might be in a booth one day with Evan. Hey, this is my dad. He showed me the love of the game, and here I am today on Monday night.
He's got football. A personality.
He does. I've witnessed it, you know. I've changed a couple of diapers of his back in the day when he was a little
yeah.
chap.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Definitely.
If James doesn't say, he helps people in many ways.
But no, I really appreciate the perspective that you just gave on that. And I know there's a listener out there that is definitely going to benefit from hearing that, you know, may have been there, may have had the same hopes and dreams, you know, for a son mm-hmm. or a daughter in one regards, and had to shift that thought process for themselves, but also for the better of the relationship. Right. So I really appreciate you sharing that with the listeners and myself today.
Yeah, Evan. For sure.
So, man, I always love to give my guest a parting shot of something, you know, that they want to give the audience, whether it's, you know, and I did a little something today, you know, I try to give different stuff. And I talked about self-care, you know what I mean? As a dad, if I don't take care of myself, I can't be the best for others if I can't be the best for myself, right? I need that energy. I need that refreshing of my mind, body, and soul. You know, in your journey thus far, man, you know, what's something you have that you want to leave the audience?
Man, oh, man. That's a good one, too, because, you know, as good, quote, unquote, as I think I might be as a dad, you know, I'm still – in the grand scheme, you know, I'm still in the kindergarten of fatherhood. And, you know, I truly feel that as soon as I figure something out in life, or I think I have it figured out, that's when it's going to come smack me upside the head and help me realize I don't have it quite figured out yet. So I'm still learning so much. And I think that's definitely one thing that I try to keep in mind, is that being able to keep my head on a swivel as far as fatherhood, because I think as soon as I had my mind set on something specifically, especially in regards to my first son, the universe came and shook that up. And in another sink and swim opportunity, it was, well, you can either go become the most bitter person on earth, or you can adjust and you can teach love and happiness to your kids. So, man, being able to slow down and smell the roses, you know, professionally, career-wise, you know, I hustle. I get up and I go and I work and I work and I work and I work and I work. And, you know, the health of my children have helped me understand to press pause on that. Talk about self-care. It's really helped me to find ways to take care of myself, which sometimes are successful and sometimes not. But recognizing that sometimes I need to do some things like making sure I watch my Niners game.
Right.
Or
right.
making sure that no matter what crazy of a day I was having serving the community that I'm going to get home and watch my Warriors tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get home and watch my Giants and getting those opportunities. But, you know, yeah, you know, that's one of the things right there, man. You really got to stop and smell the roses, because as little as my kids are, they were just born. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was giving my son Evan a hug earlier, and his arms are almost as big as mine. And what happened to this guy? It can really go by that fast. And right now, something that you and I haven't quite talked about too much, and I'm not going to get too much into right now, is we've also had some concerns around my other son, which really, really has cemented the current notion of needing to slow down, work needing to come secondary, family needing to come first, and not even be tied. It just needs to come first and to take that time.
Yeah.
And that's definitely one thing I want to leave with people out there is, man, enjoy it while we got it.
Yeah. 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 Well said. Well said. And, you know, I've heard it said this way, and I think you've said it. You know, it's like parenting, it doesn't get easier. It just gets different. You know, there's always something a little different along the way. And that's why I always say it's a journey that we don't have to do alone, because there's another dad who's been there, that's done that, that can give you a couple of words of wisdom in your time of need. And that's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do. It's just try to help somebody at whatever point that they're at. And I can't do it all by myself. It's folks like you and previous guests that help us get there. So I really want to thank you, Devin, and I'm glad to have you on the show. And, you know, as the show develops, there, you know, there's the season ends, but fatherhood doesn't, you know what I'm saying? No. So there's going to be some opportunities later on after the season where, you know, I'm going to do some different things to really hammer home a lot of the points that we've talked about and bring folks on a show that can really help us in different areas, you know, drug and alcohol, mental health, education, finance, and things of that nature, so we can cover all the bases and have our dads in a better place as they are going on their fatherhood journey.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and hey, you let me know what you need, and I got you.
All right, everybody, that's it for the show, and we will see you next time. Thank you for joining this episode of Fatherhood and Football, a Dad's Thing production, where finding and embracing our roles in fatherhood is a journey, and one that we do not have to do alone. Please join us next Thursday for our next episode, and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at A Dad's Thing for all your fatherhood-related content. You can also find our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public.